Today, we're going to look at 10 Bible prophecies that are coming true right now. We'll look at exactly what the Bible says and the year the prophecy was given, and then watch video evidence of current events showing that these prophecies are starting to come to pass. In Romans chapter 1, verse 25, written between 50 and 60 AD, Paul said that people would be worshiping creation instead of the Creator. This is common among the growing spiritual practice known as the New Age, but we also saw a female pastor at the DNC convention lead a prayer not to God, but to the universe.
May the endless, boundless energy of the universe wrap around you with awe and love and well-becoming. Amen, Ashe, Amin, and may we together make it so.
That prophecy in Romans also falls in line with another prophecy told to us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, written between 65 and 68 AD. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." This prophecy is clearly seen throughout the world. Mockers and scoffers like Richard Dawkins and Alex O'Connor publicly deny the truth of Jesus Christ and the Bible. But even in some supposed Christian churches, we have pastors and congregations rejecting the truth that Jesus Christ is coming back a second time.
Everybody repeat after me. There will be no rapture.
There will be no rapture.
And Jesus is not coming back. Did y'all get that? Now, once again, I know those of you here, you know that already, unless we have some visitors with us today.
In Luke 17, 26 through 29, around 30 AD, Jesus prophesied that before his second coming, which definitely is going to happen, that the world would again be like the days of Noah. In Genesis 6:5, written between 1200 and 1500 BC, we are told what the days of Noah were like. "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." The increase of wickedness in the world is evident everywhere. The prophecy of 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5 is a very similar prophecy to what Jesus told us in Luke 17, and this speaks about the increase of lawlessness and wickedness towards the last days. "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good." An obvious display of this type of wickedness increasing was on full display at the Grammys that just took place a couple days ago. Obvious evil imagery in multiple performances, and what many people are saying was a humiliation ritual of Jaden Smith with a very odd dark castle that he was wearing on his head. Now we're going to look at what's going on in the Middle East. This is absolutely the epicenter of end times prophecy, and there are a handful of these prophecies that we are starting to see unfold. One of the most visibly noticeable are the prophecies about Damascus. In Isaiah 17:1 and Jeremiah 49:23-27, written in 800 BC and between 600 and 700 BC, we're given the prophecies that Damascus will be destroyed. The burden against Damascus. "Behold, Damascus will cease from being a city, and it will be a ruinous heap." Jeremiah 49:23-27 gives a similar prophecy that some people say has already been fulfilled in the past, but others claim that this is a dual prophecy that will be fulfilled once more in the future, or that it's still yet to be fulfilled. Jeremiah 49:24 is very similar to Isaiah 17:1. Damascus has grown feeble. She turns to flee, and fear has seized her. Anguish and sorrows have taken her like a woman in labor. Over 2,000 years after these prophecies were given, we're seeing them come to pass, proving that the Bible was written by the supernatural inspiration of God.
50,000 now live among the ruins, a fraction of Daraya's population. It's a similar story in other areas that were once known as opposition strongholds. Infrastructure, too, is destroyed. There's no services. There are no hospitals. There is a cry for help.
While there are prophecies for some nations in the Middle East, like Damascus, Israel, and more so Jerusalem, are the absolute focus of almost all of them. In Zechariah 12, 1-3, written between 520 and 518 BC, we're given a prophecy about nations gathered together against Israel and Jerusalem in the last days. The burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. We know this prophecy hasn't yet been fulfilled because Jesus in Luke 21:20 reaffirmed this by prophesying that in the last days, Jerusalem will be surrounded by armies. The continued wars in and around Israel show very clearly that these prophecies are in the process of coming to fulfillment.
Tomorrow, October 7th, marks the 1 year since the horrific terrorist attacks on Israel by Hamas.
So just one day ahead of the 1 year mark, let's go off the wall to take a look at everything that's happened so far and how the war continues to expand.
At the moment, there's currently a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas, which of course we want. We don't desire war, and I'm sure God doesn't want either side killing innocent people. But the fact that the wordage alone that is often used in calls for peace and safety, instead of something like no more war, or new cooperation, or loving your neighbor, or something along these lines, is in itself a fulfillment of 1 Thessalonians 5:3, written between 49 and 51 AD. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. UN calls for clear-eyed vision for peace and security as peace builders meet in New York. Just the other day, Pope Francis gave a speech calling for such peace in the world as well.
E continuiamo a pregare per la pace in Ucraina, in Palestina, Israele, Libano, Siria, Myanmar, Sudan. La comunità internazionale agisca con fermezza perché nei conflitti sia rispettato il diritto umanitario. Basta colpire i civili, basta colpire le scuole, gli ospedali, basta colpire i luoghi di lavoro. Non dimentichiamo che la guerra sempre è una sconfitta, sempre.
The prophesied tensions in Israel, Jerusalem, and the Middle East we are clearly seeing. And the continued prophesied desire for peace in the midst of the turmoil we are also seeing. This will ultimately culminate with the Antichrist's rise to power. There will be 3.5 years of peace. Everyone in the world will think everything is finally turning around for the better. But the Antichrist will ultimately break that peace treaty, ushering in the Great Tribulation. This is prophesied in the book of Daniel, written between 605 and 530 BC. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. I'm not saying that Trump or Benjamin Netanyahu are the Antichrist. They don't fit all the characteristics that we're told about him as of right now. And again, we don't desire war. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." But as we look at what's taking place right now in the Middle East, we are seeing the type of scenario where a 3.5-year peace treaty could be set up.
I am confident that President Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu together will prevent Iran from developing nuclear weapons. And I think the prospects for a real peace in the Middle East, including Saudi Arabia, increase when Israel and the United States work together.
The prophecy of the Third Temple is at the center of this peace and safety and the ultimate great tribulation that will come upon the entire earth. In 2 Thessalonians 2:4, reaffirming the prophecy in Daniel 9:27 and also reaffirmed by Jesus in Matthew 24, we're told that the Antichrist will take part in the abomination of desolation, and this happens in the Third Temple. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God and showing himself that he is God. The third temple cannot be built or purified without the ashes of an unblemished red heifer. The red heifers are in Israel and ready really at any moment to be sacrificed to collect their ashes for these purification ceremonies for the temple and for the priests and the artifacts within it. Those who watch over the red heifers say that they are waiting for more peace and safety because they believe that this will bring all the world together, all the nations will come flooding to the third temple, and it will establish the messianic age, as they don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. This is in perfect alignment with these prophecies of peace and safety and the third temple and the abomination of desolation by the Antichrist, who declares to be Messiah and God himself. Here's an update from CBN News on the red heifers posted just a few days ago.
This is huge. This is huge. And the one gal that was giving us the tour, she said that part of the reason why Hamas invaded is because of these red heifers. And according to prophecy, these red heifers are significant. From the time of Israel's history, they say that only 9 have been killed for these ashes. And so for these to be here in Shiloh here, and for that to fit in with what appears to be prophecy on the horizon, we're living in monumental days, unbelievable times.
The third temple prophecy, in accordance with the red heifer sacrifice, must take place to fulfill prophecy. But through this, hopefully people's eyes will be opened to the ultimate truth, that Jesus Christ is the perfect sacrifice. All these prophecies that we've looked at point to his return, and it's through Jesus Christ alone that we are saved. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice an offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God." Previously saying, "Sacrifice an offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law." Then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.